Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The Volume.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
All right, Akin Reyes and Barack Bess are here, better known as Akin Barack on the DAZN Boxing
Chris,
Show.
I got child support trying to come after me, and you just throwing my government out there like that, man. Damn, bro.
And when you're like 85 weeks backed up on those child support.
Man, I'm in the reds right now, bro.
I mean, I didn't know that, you know, Akin Barack was more than just a show pseudonym. I didn't know it was a
cover. That's a first and last name, brother. First and last name right there.
There you go. All right. Well, Akin Barack from the DAZN Boxing Show will be in Las Vegas this week. Boots on the ground for Ryan Garcia against Tank Davis. That's a fight you could purchase on DAZN pay-per-view. So let me ask you this first, guys, and Ak, we'll start with you. How big is this fight? Is this Fury Wilder 2? Is this Canelo Triple G 3? Is this David Benavidez Caleb Plant? Is it bigger? Is it smaller? How big is this fight?
It's probably the biggest fight in boxing. Now, some people might argue me down and say, and they'll say the biggest matchup and the best matchup would be Terence Crawford and Errol Spence, and that might be the case. But in terms of revenue, as you know, Chris, this is a business and awareness. I can't tell you, look, my daughter's in college, Northeastern University, up around your way, doesn't watch boxing. She called me 2 days ago. She said, "Hey, Pops, I want to watch this Ryan Tank Garcia fight. I need to watch it. I'm going to be in my dorm. How can you order it and send it to me?" She's telling me. So it just gives you perspective, Chris, that how much awareness this fight's had and the range from age group. And she's 19 years old. So I think it's safe to say it's the biggest fight in boxing. And you can say that Joshua Wilder is just as huge, or Fury, Joshua. But I don't see another a fight that's bigger than this one.
Brock, you're talking to me about child support. You're goosing some of your payments to get your kids to watch this fight.
First of all, I raised my kids by myself. You know, I'm a single dad, so I don't pay child support. I was just joking. But yeah, man. I gotta agree with Ak. This is one of those fights that everybody will go in their wallet, in their pocketbook to pay, because the awareness is just bigger than all of those other fights you named. That's it. Right now, the awareness is bigger than those fights. Now, if Canelo was to fight somebody else, you know, of worthiness, then that would probably be a bigger fight, you know, but as of right now, this is it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a more marketable fight than Crawford versus Spence. I think Crawford Spence is for the purists. This fight's for a broader audience. I don't like to make predictions on pay-per-view buys because I don't know what the pay-per-view landscape looks like anymore. I mean, Ak, your daughter is probably got a bunch of friends that are going to be stealing it. Exactly. Like, that's just the way it goes.
I didn't even think of that. But, yeah, I mean, the game has changed, Chris. Like, there's no, you know, that era of 1.5 million sales, you know, 1.2, 1.3, it just doesn't exist because of the piracy. And as these criminals online get smarter, it's going to get worse. So I don't know how long this pay-per-view model can last. Obviously, make sure you guys go purchase this on DAZN pay-per-view, but it's tough. I mean, I can't predict the number on this, but I say 500,000 because of the piracy, maybe 600.
Yeah,
I know fighters who steal cable, you know, who watch, you know, all of the fights for free. So if they don't respect it, I know the fans aren't.
And Barack, how easy, I mean, technology is making it easier by the day. I mean, I listened to a song today by Drake and The Weeknd, and neither Drake or The Weeknd sang it. It was artificial intelligence.
I did as well.
I don't know, stealing a signal to watch a pay-per-view event has almost become, you know, basic norm, for some of these hackers that are out there. But look, it's a major event. It's going to do great revenue. It's going to do great numbers. And, you know, for the people that are inside T-Mobile, it is going to be an electric atmosphere because you do have two of the biggest stars in boxing, not just young stars, two of the biggest stars, most marketable stars, biggest fan bases in all of boxing. Now, it has been billed as kind of the winner of this fight becomes the face of boxing. You know, Ryan Garcia has said it. Tank Davis has said it. Canelo Alvarez is still out there. Tyson Fury is still out there. Anthony Joshua is still out there. Barack, is the winner of this fight the new face of boxing?
No. Just because they said it doesn't mean it's true. You got to understand something, that they're very, very popular independently. But because they're coming together, this is a very, very big fight. You got to understand that Canelo put 70-something thousand people in stands fighting anybody.
During a pandemic.
You know, fighting anybody. You know, fighting Billy Joe Saunders, who nobody in the stadium came to see him. That's the face of boxing. You don't get to just take it over with one fight, you know. And no, first of all, we got to see the numbers. The numbers will tell you afterwards, and then we can say maybe. But no, look at social media. I always say this, social media is free to follow, right? 9.5 million for Ryan Garcia, 4.6 million follow Gervonta Davis. Canelo has more than both of them together. Just a little bit more, but more than both of them together. That's the face of boxing. That's it. There's countries that follow Canelo. You can't really say the same thing. You can't say the same thing about these two fighters, even though to a certain generation, yes, these guys are the only guys that they watch. They watch a Ryan, they might watch a Gervonta Davis because they're young. But to the boxing world, no way.
Not.
You can't say it. You can't. Canelo's still in his prime. Canelo just beat Triple G. He's about to fight John Ryder, and he's about to go back and fight Bivol, which is an incredible hard fight in a weight division he don't belong in. Right now, he's the face of boxing.
And just to add to that, Barack, look, I echo what Barack is saying. Chris, let's talk about pay-per-view numbers when it comes to Canelo Alvarez against Bivol. We know Triple G's big, but against Caleb Plant, who's fairly wasn't that popular at the time, and that fight did a supposed over 700,000 pay-per-views. And look at Tank's pay-per-view fights against lesser opponents, you know? So that right there puts everything in perspective. I'm not saying these guys aren't popular. Like Barack said, they might be the face of the new generation, but when you say the word boxing, I think boxing has many faces, right?
What I'm saying is this is big because they're coming together. Let's say Ryan wins, and then Ryan fights somebody else. Let's say he fights Isak Cruz. If you're the face of boxing, then that one's gonna do big numbers. It's not, you know, because you're not the face of boxing. The face of boxing does good numbers no matter what, and that's Canelo.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think this, in terms of an American audience, this will be the new star. Like, this will 100%. Be the man.
Yeah.
Because this will be the guy. And look, Canelo is a lot of things. He speaks English better than he used to, but you're not going to see Canelo Alvarez on Jimmy Kimmel or TikTok. Saturday Night Live.
Not yet.
But like use the hypothetical of Ryan Garcia. Right. Ryan Garcia wins, and this thing does big numbers.
Yeah.
You're going to see Ryan Garcia everywhere on Monday morning.
True.
Everywhere. That's for sure. So in America, at least, I think this will be the new face of quote unquote American boxing.
But you see what you said, Chris? I'm glad you said it. And that was brilliant what you said. I don't even know if you caught it. If Tank wins, you're not going to see that big, that same kind of machine. You know, you're
and
not,
that, that has a lot to do with him.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like,
that plays a part.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Ryan is pretty and he's marketable, you know, and I think Javonte Davis is handsome, but he's not as marketable. You know,
yeah, so I think
you don't
I think
big push.
Yeah, well, we don't need to delve too deep into all this. We've done this in the past, but the reason he's not marketable is all the things he's done outside the ring and what he's currently facing. As soon as this fight is over, he could potentially be facing jail time for hit and run. Nobody can forget the video of him and the woman at the basketball game. There's a lot working against him in the moment. So it's common to see fighters confident at press conferences. Javonte Davis and Ryan Garcia, both extremely confident at the two press conferences that they had. I thought while Ryan was confident, I thought Javonte was almost dismissive of Ryan. I thought he was, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but I thought he was almost cocky. Whether it was, I mean, no showing the first press conference until like 3 hours later was one thing. But even at the second press conference when he finally engaged with Ryan and he's like, man, you just got a left hook.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
Yeah.
Just a left hook. It just felt to me that Javonte truly believes he's on a different level than Ryan
Garcia. Well, look, he can believe that. Doesn't mean that he's not concerned with Ryan Garcia. Obviously, with all the stipulations in the contract regarding the weight, obviously there's some concern there. So I think part of it is mental games. Also, ego kicks in. When you're facing a guy, he's in front of you, somebody that you're going to fight, somebody that you've been going back and forth with for years now, you're going to be cocky. It's just a natural thing. But if you base it on how Javonte is training, and I'm not saying he doesn't train hard for all his fights, but there's an intensity level there, Chris, that I've never seen him have. So there's concern. There's a level of you know, I mean, the level that he's working to prepare for this fight is intense. So no, I don't think, I wouldn't say he's underestimating him at all or being dismissive of him. I think that's more ego talking. And yes, he's confident and it feels he's levels above him, but subconsciously he's very concerned about his speed, his power, his size. That's obvious. So, and look, just to end on this, it's obvious that Ryan Garcia has more than just a left hook, right? Barack and I have seen him in training camp. Yeah. He has a hell of a jab when he uses it, which I think will be the key in this fight to keeping Javonte at bay. So he has a lot to look out for when it comes to Ryan Garcia.
He's also, Barack, got a hell of a right hand.
That
hand has been injured the last couple of years. He hasn't used it quite as frequently, but ask Romero Duno how strong that right hand is.
Yeah.
You know, Romero Duno caught that right on the chin in the first round, and that was the ball game for him in that fight.
Yeah, yeah. Also, Tego got rocked by that right hand as well.
And so Tego just ran.
What it is this, he's just a big, strong kid with fast hands. Both hands are fast, and both hands are powerful. I think you guys are both right. I think you're exactly right, Chris. He was dismissive, and I think what Ox says is that he's worried about a lot of things Ryan has. Both of those are true. You know, I feel like, you know, boxing is so much different than every other sport. In another sport, you could have guys like Bill Cartwright have ugly form, but it works. You know what I'm saying? It works.
Maybe on a free throw line sometimes. Fast motion game
that's
pace,
all,
he wasn't hitting
about.
That shot.
It worked. No, because you don't take a shot looking like that way. But it works. And, you know, so guys have different forms when it comes to basketball, but it can work. But in boxing, it's like, because Tank comes from a certain school of thought, Ryan's style looks wrong to him.
Yeah.
His technicality looks bad to him. So that's why he has that same kind of mentality when he was fighting Rolando. He's like, not that bad, but he was just saying, you just don't got it, buddy. You know what I'm saying? And he's looking at Ryan like, you make a lot of mistakes. But what Ryan has been doing has been working so far. But in Tank's mind, he's like, I'm a different caliber of fighter. That's not going to work on me. Even though I know, just like Rolando, Rolando wasn't a good fighter at all, but he got a lot of power, so Tank had to be leery of the power, and you've seen a lot of boxing, and you've seen a lot of defense, and he didn't get touched. You know, so I think he's worried about the power and the speed, but he's also like, this guy's not on my level. I think you're right, Chris.
Yeah.
I would say, I hope he is as, you know, for if I'm Team Tank, I hope he is as concerned about Ryan's power and speed as he should be, because I have been in every one of Ryan Garcia's fighter meetings over the last four-ish years. In every one of those fighter meetings, guys, the opponent has just been like, yeah, he's fast, yeah, he's strong, but, you know, I've been in with a lot of guys. I heard that over and over and over again. For whatever reason, maybe it's because how he looks, how he talks, kind of the Instagram stuff around him. For whatever reason, guys don't seem to really believe he is as fast and he is as strong as he is. And, you know, Javier Fortuna was the most recent, recipient of that. I don't think he really believed it coming into that fight. And then he gets knocked down like 37 times in six rounds, and he walks out, you know, saying, I do believe it. So,
yeah, I agree with that. I think that, you know, that speaks to what Barack was talking about as far as Tank saying that he doesn't look as skillful as I am. He doesn't seem like he can compete on my level, but like Floyd has always said, it's different being in there with you. So I think Ryan has this twitchy little awkward angle punching that it's not, you can't prepare for it. So I think even though it might look like he can deal with it, I think Tank is going to have some issues with that. But look, the question that needs to be answered here is if Tank can take Ryan's power. That's going to be the determining factor in this fight. If he lands a big shot.
I don't think that's the question.
Yeah. No.
Because Tank can't probably take Rolando's power. The question is,
no, you're saying probably.
Can he hit?
But no,
Tank?
No, but wait.
No, because Tank is not worried about
Tank. Yeah, but Rolly was able to land against Tank. Not flush, right?
Then that's what I mean.
Right.
Just like Wilder couldn't land
slower,
flush against
slower.
Fury.
Yeah.
He couldn't land
flush. But Barack, we're talking about Ryan's speed, and his left hook is so quick. So at some point, I do believe that Tank is going to get touched in this fight. And if he's able to eat Ryan's power, I think it's going to be a long fight or a night for Ryan. But that's going to be the question, because the punch is going to land.
Let me tell you like this. The reason why you got to understand that, why Tank got so much confidence, Ryan couldn't knock out Tego. He couldn't catch Tego with that left hook like he catching everybody else.
Bro, he was fighting a guy that was surviving that did not want to engage.
No kidding. Thank you for finishing my thought. That's what I'm saying. You just finished my thought. Thank you. There's a way to fight to avoid that. So that's why he's not as worried. He knows that punch can probably knock him out.
But he can't fight like Tango. He won't win the fight. How can he fight that way?
Because he's way more skillful. He can fight backing up and catch you coming in like he did Romero. So what I'm saying is, you don't have to get hit by that left hand, even though he's faster than you. That's all I'm saying.
Of course. So
Tank is not saying, oh, I could take his shot. Hell no. He probably can't. He can't take Romero's.
If Joe Goosen's not in the gym every day telling Ryan not to leap in, like, don't expose yourself, he's crazy. That's a key. Yeah. That's how Romero got caught. He got cocky, he leaped in, and didn't realize how strong Tank was with those counter shots. That's how he got caught. Barack, this fight's at a catch weight, 136 pounds. Yeah. There's a 10-pound rehydration clause that prevents Ryan from getting above 146 at a certain time of the day on Saturday. How concerned are you about that?
I hate it. This is my first time talking about it, but I hate it. I feel like there's a lot of things I feel about this. One thing is, it's kind of hard for me to accept these two stipulations when, on one hand, I know the environment Tank comes from. He's always reminding us where he comes from. Ryan can't win because of where I come from. I know that environment. You know why? Because I come from that environment. And in that environment, you're not scared. Well, you can be scared, but you never show fear. And you do things that make you appear fearless. So size and all of that other stuff never gets spoken about because you don't care. So he's always pushing that bravado around. And then catch weight is one thing that boxing really doesn't accept. And boxing really doesn't like. Not even when Canelo was doing that 155 crap. Nobody really liked that. You know, so if you're going to have a catch weight, okay, fine. You're a smaller guy. But then if you didn't do a catch weight for another guy, that's suspect.
I mean,
but then to have a rehydration on top of a catch weight, my God, what are you trying to do to this guy? Like, you're trying to take every single advantage. Meanwhile, you're a guy with a lot of bravado that says you ain't scared of nobody. You're gonna knock him out. I just don't like that.
I don't like it either, Barack, but I'll say this in Tank's defense. He's been open about it. He hasn't hidden it.
I respect that.
No, I mean, he's been saying, yes, I'm not a dummy. Yes, the size plays a factor in there. You know, I'm a smaller guy. He's a bigger guy. I'm trying to have any advantage I can have in the fight. So, yes, and what makes it look terrible is the fact that he fought Mario Barrios at 140 without a concern in the world.
That's the problem.
Because there wasn't that level of concern. So it's obvious that him and his team have concerns about Ryan Garcia's size. So, but he hasn't been quiet about it and sneaky about it. He's been open about it. So I have to respect it. Not, I don't have to 100%. Love it, but he's saying, hey, I want advantages.
He said that. Now there's an excuse.
No, yes.
You know, I always say that. There's room for excuses, and
I'm sorry, Chris, that Barack and I are going back and forth here, but okay. but the fact is that, I mean, one of the statements that he made was that, hey, I'm the smaller guy. I'm at a disadvantage, so I'm trying to get an advantage on another angle. So I don't think anybody's ever been that open about putting a rematch clause.
A guy who's bigger than Ryan Garcia, Mario Barrios, who's been fighting bigger guys, who walks around at a bigger weight,
I blame all the, you know, any journalist that talked to him about it and didn't bring that up, because that's the question he needs to ask. And maybe we'll ask him if we talk to him on Friday.
I tell you, you know, his boxing role model for years was Floyd Mayweather, play some games with weight, you know, during his career. But two of Floyd's biggest fights, Oscar De La Hoya, he went up to 154. The full 154 went limit.
He had to.
He had to. But then Miguel Cotto, when he didn't, he fought
true.
Miguel Cotto at a full 154 as well. So, you know, those are two examples of it. I am concerned about this weight because Ryan's a big kid. He is a big kid. He fought his last fight at 140 pounds. I know that was largely attributed to Javier Fortuna, but everything I heard around that time was Ryan kind of needed that weight to be 140 as well. Going down to 136 is going to be hard. I don't care how many Instagram posts he puts up there about how easy he's making weight, how in shape he is. That's going to be difficult. BS. Only rehydrating 10 pounds is going to be difficult.
Chris, quick question, because I know you probably noticed. There are rumors that the rehydration weigh-in is going to be 10 a.m. in the morning, and there's some people saying that it has to be right before the fight start.
No, Nevada wouldn't allow it to be before the fight. I don't know if it's 10 a.m., but it's hours and hours and hours before the actual fight. So he's going to have to like sleep overnight, weigh in at 146 when he gets up, and then he can do whatever he wants. But still, that changes your routine, right?
Yes.
Like Ryan Garcia, I'm sure after he weighs in, he doesn't go to Wendy's, but I'm sure he, you know, kind of lets it, eats what he needs to and gets to whatever weight he has to.
Right.
This time he's going to have to be careful getting to 146. And I think that matters. Like, I think that could take something out of him, especially.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, especially if this fight goes in the later rounds.
100%.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And then there we go. A built-in excuse now, you know, and I hate that.
Yeah.
You know, so what do we do? A rematch now without the clause? Like that.
And both guys are to blame.
How do you get full credit if you had two stipulations? A catch weight, I can almost agree to, and it's okay. But to have a catch weight and to say that you have a rehydration clause, how do you get full credit if you win? Seriously, that's a great question. And I love both fighters, but how do you get full credit? Because there's always an asterisk there, but you had a rehydration clause. For what? Yeah. For what?
And why
do you have a rehydration clause?
And you're giving Ryan an excuse. You know, if he doesn't perform
well. At the end of the day, you can rehydrate to be big too. You know, you're both coming in the same day, the same weight, but you can both rehydrate.
Well, according to Tank, he says, listen, I have to deal with those same stipulations. I can't go over 146.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
He's not going to go that high.
Exactly.
He might go to 43, 44, but he's not. I mean, look, he's probably a natural 130-pounder who's at 135,
right?
Where he's good, but I don't think he's as great at 135 as he was at 130, but he's not getting that high end. Look, I haven't, you know, talked to Ryan about this specifically, but it doesn't sound like he's using kind of the perfecting athletes people that are often really good at helping fighters make weight and then rehydrate the next day. I don't know how he's doing it, but I hope he's doing it in
the right way.
A professional way, because that's going to be a variable coming into this fight. Tank Davis, the perception, at least in terms of game plan, is that Tank is more dangerous in the second half of this fight. Round 6 through 12, that is when Tank Davis could completely take control of this fight. That's when he's going to knock Ryan Garcia out. Ak, when do you think Tank in this fight is his most dangerous, and what do you think is going to be kind of his best offense in this fight?
I think Tank Davis is dangerous throughout any round of any fight. I mean, he's a big puncher, and he's fast with his counter punching, so he can hurt a guy in the first round or in the 12th, but memory has shown us
that. But he doesn't. He doesn't. So often, even that Hector Luis Garcia fight. I mean,
no, he turns,
for six
he,
rounds,
he turns
I'm like,
up.
Holy shit, Hector Luis Garcia might actually, decision Tank if he can hang in there. And then he got his face broken or whatever.
No question about that. But what I'm saying, that doesn't mean that he can't hurt you early in a fight. He hasn't. And yes, I guess if we're basing it on his recent fights, he turns it up later in the fight. I mean, I think his style, his counterpunching is going to be the key in this fight. Luring Ryan in, making him feel comfortable enough to try a check hook, to try that, that laser jab and counter with a big shot. Because if Ryan uses his size, it's going to be very difficult for Tank. But Tank is a very good boxer, a lot better than people give him credit for, because he's such a big puncher and because he starts slow. But he's a skilled fighter. I mean, the guy has tons of amateur fights. He's won tons of amateur tournaments. He knows how to box. He's relying on his power. I think in this fight, he's going to pull a lot of that boxing ability out. He's going to have to in order to beat a Ryan Garcia. But I think counterpunching is the key for Tank. Quick, that left uppercut is going to be very dangerous for Ryan Garcia. And just probably that overhand left, too, countering from any shots that Ryan is throwing. I think that's going to be the key.
Yeah. Barack, Tank is a very intelligent fighter in the ring. I hate using the phrase like downloading information, but guys like Terrence Crawford, guys like Tank Davis, they do that.
Yeah.
They process what they're seeing in front of them, and they adjust accordingly. I think, though, this is a dangerous fight for Tank Davis to fight that way, to potentially start slow. Because if he winds up down 4-2 or 5-1 against Ryan Garcia, which a lot of smart boxing people have told me they believe the first half of the fight is going to go, he puts himself in a position to maybe have to take some chances. Like, Ryan Garcia is a big guy. Tank Davis at some point is going to have to get inside Ryan Garcia's guard to land those big shots. If you're down and you get a little bit too reckless, Tank's never faced a guy with this type of counterpunching power. I mean, Ox talking about Tank counterpunching. Ryan is the king of counterpunching because, look at Duno. When he came at him, he got clipped.
Yeah.
You look at Fonseca. He comes at him. He gets clipped. You come at Ryan Garcia, you get hit with something you can't see. So this, to me, is one of those fights where I don't think Tank can start as slow as he started in previous fights.
Yeah, that's true. But then again, he's also has that kind of power that can, change the momentum of the fight with one shot. I just think that Tank is a very, very smart fighter. A very, very smart fighter. And like you said, he downloads information. Yeah, he studies his opponents and he kind of figures them out. I think as he went up in weight, the fights got a little bit more difficult for him. And it just took him a little bit more time to figure these guys out. Not just figure these guys out, but just get inside because he's so small with his little short arms. You know what I mean? But I don't think Tank is worried because he knows he has that, erase.
Also, we've been talking about the rehydration clause, and maybe there's a plan in play there that if Ryan depletes himself that much, he will fade later on in a fight when Tank usually turns it up in the second half of a fight. I mean, I'm not saying that's all structured there as the game plan, but that's something to think about. If Ryan struggles with making that 146 on fight night and maybe doesn't have the condition to go full 12, it plays right into Tank Davis's repertoire late in the fight.
He doesn't waste shots.
My thing, though, Barack, though, is he's never fought anyone that also has an eraser. Like, Rolly Romero is fine, but most of his knockouts have come against nobodies, and I need to see him win a fight at a high level before I really believe
that's very true.
He is a high-level guy. Yeah. Zepeda was good at 130, but Pedraza, rather, good at 130. But he's never fought anyone with the kind of power of Ryan Garcia. So he's got the eraser, sure, but, you get a little bit too cute coming inside against Ryan, you're going to get erased yourself.
But that's why this fight is so interesting, Chris, because of that.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
I think probably Romero hits harder than Ryan. you know, Ryan's is fast.
I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't say that.
Ryan's shots are fast.
You're like the guys in the fighter meetings right now. You're like the opponent in the fighter meetings.
Ryan's shots are fast.
But that doesn't mean they're not hard. What do you mean?
They're fat. You'll never know what I mean until you let me talk. Well,
neither of us have ever been hit from either guy. We don't know because Rolly looks a little more stocky and wild.
Right. So, but you're saying the opposite. You're saying the opposite of what I'm saying. So, if we've never been hit by the guy, we both just have an opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
So no, just but let me say mine.
Okay, good.
So just let me say it then. You're still not letting me say it.
Right.
So I think Ryan's shots are more crisp. They're shorter, they're fast, and you don't see him and you get knocked out. But Rolando Romero is just one of those guys that just hits like Lucas Matisse. Like, hits very, very hard.
Against who, though? Against who?
Javonte Davis is like, yo, he hits very, very hard. I'm just saying, he's just a hard, sloppy puncher. You know what I mean? And that's all I'm saying. So I don't think Javonte's worried about the power. Because he has good defensive skills. You know, he showed that. He doesn't get hit.
Yeah.
But I think he's just the fearful part is the speed.
Yeah.
The speed that Ryan has. You know, can he take away that speed? Can he take away the positioning from Ryan with his footwork?
Yeah. You know, look, some of the biggest punchers in boxing, it's not about their strength or their muscle, it's their speed. Whether it is Ryan Garcia, Deontay Wilder,
Judah.
You know, Zab Judah, if you want to go back even further, you know, even Canelo, like, you know, his speed is what puts guys down when he's at his best.
And Ryan, when you got guys like George Foreman, no speed, that's Romero.
Yeah, that's heavyweight, sir.
Hard freaking puncher. A hard puncher. That's it. No speed. Just a hard puncher.
Are you working Romero's corner?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't even like the guy as a fighter. I don't even like the guy as a fighter. I'm just saying.
Sounds
one thing he had is pop.
last thing I want to ask you guys. Who needs this fight more? Like, this is a big fight. But I look at Tank Davis, 28 years old, in the last couple of years, last few years, really. He's been getting killed. And I've been one of the people that have been killing him for not going out there and making big fights. Yeah. I think it's a big fight for Ryan Garcia. I think it's, you know, his first real test, just like it's Tank Davis's first real test. But for Tank Davis, if you get beat by Ryan Garcia, especially after kind of, you know, dismissing him in the way that he has over the last couple of months, I think it's not career crippling, but it's bad. And it would probably force him into a rematch, you know, pretty quickly.
The rematch is obviously already in the book, so that has to happen. And yeah,
it doesn't have to. Like, if he clips Ryan, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no. Well, Ryan is not going to get the opportunity. But according to Ryan Garcia in the contract, he's the only one that's going to have the opportunity. If Tank loses, he's the only one that's going to have the opportunity to rematch him. So it's going to be bad if he were to lose to Ryan for a short period of time. But he'll have an opportunity right away to redeem that loss. So yes. It's going to look bad temporarily, but he had the opportunity to come back and win big against Ryan. I wouldn't say it's his first test. I think Tank has been in some good fights. I thought the Pedrosa fight was a real fight. I thought Pitbull Cruz is a real test. I thought that was a tough fight.
Pitbull Cruz has been elevated to this level of, like, he's turning down fights now, all because he fought a close decision against Ryan Garcia. I can't get on the Pitbull Cruz train just yet.
Yes, he might be a little overrated, but I'm talking about in terms of style, just watching a guy fight. He, you know, he's a tough guy to deal with, and I thought Tank dealt with him right, even though, you know, it was a close fight. So I would say that Tank has been tested a little bit more than Ryan, but both guys are in the biggest fight of their lives, no question.
I'm not sure, Barack, that he's – I mean, look – I think it's close as far as who's been tested the most. I would put Luke Campbell up there with Pedraza as the high-level opponents. I mean, Luke Campbell, even though that was his last fight, you know, he went the distance with Lomachenko. He's been in some big fights before. You know, was tooth and nail with the good version of Jorge Linares. And Ryan overcame adversity and knocked him out, something those guys.
Yeah, but you know, look at a guy like Mario Barrios, who went the distance with Keith Thurman, a big punch in welterweight, and Tank got him out of there. Say what you want about Barrios, solid fighter. You know, when you start naming those names out there, like Gamboa, and I know he's past his prime, Leo Santa Cruz, I know he's a smaller guy, but you're talking about world-class fighters that Tank has beaten. So I don't think we can compare that as far as, like, resumes.
But but the question is out there, Barack, as far as who needs this more. Like, is this kind of a must win for Tank Davis?
100%. I think Ryan is in a position where he can lose this fight. Ryan has never been a champion. He's just popular. You know, Tank has been a champion. They say two division champion. I say one, you know, but he's been a champion and he's 20. He's about to turn 29 years old. Mm-hmm. He needs this. He needs this win. And if he is acting like dismissive towards Ryan Garcia, it would hurt him more to lose. It's really about Ryan stepping up to fight somebody who's proven already, somebody who's been a champion already, who's fought multiple champions. Ryan fought one former champion, but Tank is an actual champion. Yeah. Ryan isn't. So, you know, Tank needs this more. Tank is looking at Ryan, go ahead, what?
No, I was waiting. I stopped.
Different?
No, I don't necessarily think that he has to win. It's all about how the fight plays out.
No,
if this turns out to be
more?
No, what I'm saying,
who needs to win more? That's the question.
I think both guys need to win just as
pretty
much.
Clearly,
the question is who needs it more?
Right, but if Tank should lose this fight in a close, competitive, classic fight, he doesn't really lose. I mean, it's just a recipe for a bigger rematch.
More. You're bringing up a scenario. The question is, who needs it more?
Yes, and on paper, in theory, it would be Tank Davis.
So you interrupted me, and you believe the same thing.
No, I don't believe it.
You don't make sense?
No, I'm saying
you just said the same thing I said. So what you should have been is
I don't believe he needs to win. If he gets washed, yes,
that's
it's bad.
That's not the question. The question is, who needs it more? First of all, every fighter needs to win.
All right, I'm
going to
retract my damn statement, all right?
The question
guess
is,
what? Guess
who
what?
Now you're going to lie.
Ryan needs it more, damn it.
No, you're not. Ryan needs it more. No, Ryan does not need it more.
No, but I'm saying, you're not proving me wrong. This is my opinion. My opinion is that even if Tank loses, it's not a big deal if he loses the right way.
That's not the question, brother. That's not the question. Yes, that's true. We're not talking about that. So before you bring that in, the question is, who needs it more? And the answer is Gervonta Davis.
In your opinion.
So and yours.
In your opinion. In my opinion.
And yours.
Both guys need to win. Both guys need to win. That's it.
But you just said Gervonta Davis, so you're lying.
I changed my
damn
mind.
You don't want to look stupid. Yeah, because you always do that when
Chris,
you don't want to look
jump
stupid.
Jump in here.
You lose too many arguments. Well, I feel sorry for you.
Nah, don't feel sorry.
You are kind of straddling the fence like an Adonis.
Come on,
you're
get out of
right
here.
There get on out of that here. Line. I don't think it's a hot take to say Gervonta needs it more. He's older. He's more experienced. He's been beat up a lot more over the years for not taking these types of fights. And look, there's not going to be much of a grace period. If Gervonta beats Ryan Garcia, there's going to instantly be calls for him to fight Devin Haney before the end of the year, for him to fight Shakur Stevenson. All I heard, you know, talked to Leonard Ellerbe this week. Leonard said Gervonta wants all the smoke. Okay,
we'll see.
Now's the time to prove it. Because,
let me say one thing. I'm so sorry. If Gervonta Davis lose, people like Chris Mannix and a whole bunch of other people are going to say,
I told you so.
I told you he was overrated. If Ryan Garcia loses, nobody's going to say that.
No. You're right. Look, hey,
see?
Look, I'm being baited into this all the time because, like, I open up Boxing Scene and I see the headline, Gervonta Davis, I am already a legend. Like,
Oh my God.
It's like this low-hanging fruit is being dangled below me. Like, look,
They took that out of context.
Hold on. You are right, Barack, that if Ryan Garcia loses, we'll talk about it, we'll write about it, do videos about it, but sure as hell, if Gervonta Davis gets knocked out, I'm going to be right here on this podcast 15 minutes after that fight ends doing another one. I'll be on SI.com writing a column about it. I will. Look, I will be, I don't know what the phrase is for it, but I will be reminding people that, you know, this is what happens when you don't get tested for the majority of your career, that you have situations like this come up when you face someone on this level.
In Gervonta Davis' defense, he said, I'm a legend in my hood. He said, from everything that I've overcome, you know, with my childhood,
which is true.
I'm already a legend. But he was talking about Baltimore.
Oh,
yeah.
Sense.
Yeah. He wasn't saying I'm a legend in a sport. He said, like, I'm a legend already in Baltimore. Look how far I've gotten. So, right. so just, just, you know, because, you know, these these sites, they you know, they take things out of context.
Oh, purpose. Yeah, which is 100% true about Gervonta Davis. Yeah, 100% true. And I said this to Leonard Ellerbe. The only gripe I've ever had with Gervonta is that he doesn't. They make these fights that I don't care about. Like, now yeah, you made a fight that we care about.
It wasn't even his fault. You know,
well, it's always the fighter's really fault.
With, you know, Mayweather promotions.
It's, it really but it's always the fighter's fault. It's always the fighter's fault. Like, Devin Haney did his thing. You know, Devin Haney's out there making things happen on his own.
But see,
leaving
Devin
Eddie
Haney
Hearn, going to Top Rank.
Devin Haney doesn't come from a different generation, but he kind of comes from a different cloth of boxing, where it's the younger generation where they're taking more control over their career. He comes from the Floyd Mayweather school of thought, where I'm controlling everything. Yeah. You know, I'm leading your career. You just got to be a fighter. You know, so he comes from that older school where, hey, I'm just here to fight. So Danny Garcia and guys like that, I'm just here to fight. You just put him in front of me. I knock him down. Yes, at the end of the day, but that's what he thinks is right. So it took time for him to say, oh, wow, nah, that's it. They're messing up my legacy. Right. I want to be a legend, not only in the street, but in the sport.
Right.
So now he's taking control of it. And now, look, we got a fight that we wanted. So after this, let's just say he wins. After this, maybe we'll see Devin Haney or somebody else.
Hey, Devin Haney is a free agent after this next fight against Lomachenko. Wow. If he gets through it, massive fight you can make against Devin Haney against Gervonta Davis later this year. And that will not only be a, you know, lucrative fight, all the belts, baby. He will get. He have his cake and eat it too, and get his money and his respect all at the same time. So a potentially huge year for Gervonta Davis, which begins Saturday against Ryan Garcia. Akin Barak will be there in Las Vegas. I'm sure agreeing on everything while they're there. Check out the DAZN Boxing Show all week long, and make sure you buy the Garcia Davis pay per view on DAZN pay per view. And when we come back, Ryan Garcia. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Now, I'm supposed to talk here about what I remember and what I loved about my first car. And that's easy for me to do because I still have my first car. And as long as it keeps running, and so far so good, I intend to have that car probably until the day I die. That's how much I love that car. It is like a child to me. Now, it does require some upkeep, and that's why I'm grateful for a place like eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. This is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball. We do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but...
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Well, on Saturday, boxing will take center stage when Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis meet at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. That's a fight you can watch exclusively on pay-per-view. This will be the biggest fight in the careers of both fighters, and for Garcia, a chance to quiet some of the critics that see him as more style than substance. And Ryan Garcia is back with me on the show. Ryan, before we get into the fight, you appeared at the Grand Arrivals on Tuesday with what looked like a fan of yours. Who was he?
He was a kid named AJ, and he was a big fan of mine. He's battling leukemia, and he contacted my team. I think it was one of his wishes to meet me. And, of course, you know, without a doubt, I had to show, you know, AJ love and bring him on with me. Because, you know, a couple of my family members have died from leukemia. So it really hit home. And I just, you know, gave him good energy and, you know, showed him the most support I could show him.
So are you really going to bet your purse on this fight?
I told him what I said and I agreed. And I told him, you know, if you really want to do this, I told my team, let's do it. You know, I'm a man that truly believes that I'm going to defeat Gervonta Davis. And whether you betted, you know, anything you wanted on it, I believe I'm going to defeat him. So it was no question for me. Let's do it. Now it's just about, you know, if his team wants to write something up. But honestly, I'm going to say this right here. When I knock him out and I beat him, I wouldn't accept that money. Honestly, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that to him. He got enough things to handle after this fight, and him not receiving the check makes it all so much worse. So in my heart, I can't do it. But if he really wants to do that, I mean, they pressed the issue. They got on that live and, you know, talked all the shit, clowned on me all they wanted. And I stood my ground like a man. And I said, let's do it. If you guys want this work, hearing all that noise, I don't care. If you want to bet the purse, let's bet the purse. I could care less about what this guy screaming on the left is doing. I don't even know who you are. Kept screaming, jumping up, like the biggest hype man I ever seen. I told him, I need to get one of those. I need a hype man. I don't know where you bought one of those, but I need one. Gervonta, you always got the plug. Go find me one. But, yeah, I wouldn't do that to Gervonta, seriously.
The biggest question for me is the weight. How has the weight cut been for this fight?
Man, honestly, I thought it was going to be way worse. It's nothing to me. Like, I'm enjoying life every day. I feel so happy, so energized. And, you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Seriously. Man, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's just every time I get in these moments, things become so effortless. Like, once I get to fight week, it becomes effortless. Like, the whole training camp could be tough, and then it just becomes easy. So I'm already on weight. With no worries in my mind that I'm going to make it. And literally, he tried it, but it didn't do anything to me. Didn't do anything to me at all.
It had to have been in the back of your mind when you started camp. 136 pounds. I haven't made that in a long time. Are you more confident right now knowing that you have made the weight in a healthy way?
Honestly, it doesn't make me more confident, but I'm definitely excited that his plans did not do anything to me. Like the plans of attack did not prosper in any way. So that makes me happy. Now, was my confidence ever doubted? No way. I mean, have you ever seen me even blink when I talk about Gervonta Davis? Absolutely not. So no, it didn't do anything to me confidence-wise, but I am happy that it's working out in my favor.
And the rehydration clause is 10 pounds on Saturday morning.
Here's the thing with that, too. Gervonta obviously, again, put on this random rehydration clause. Like, who does that? You know, when I'm out here trying to make this big fight, you know, we're going about to do something special and you try to ruin it with a rehydration clause. Personally, I could have just said no, kiss my ass and left. But again, he doesn't know me. He doesn't know how I rehydrate anyways. I don't even gain. I try not to gain more than 10 pounds. So, again, his plans just did not prosper. And it's not going to affect me at all. If anything, this makes me more disciplined. And that's even scarier. So it's not going to work at all. I just know he's a coward for sure. For sure. When things get tough, he's definitely looking for the weirdest, corniest edges you could get. You know, Floyd taught him that, though. He's not that smart. You know who told him that? Because he said, bro, you know, in that interview, we're not, absolutely not. We're coming to 140. You know, yeah, I could quote him. Absolutely not. We're doing it at 135. Guess what? It's 136. Plans didn't work, baby.
You last fought in July. You elected not to fight this past January. How sharp do you feel coming into this fight?
Honestly, if you know how to fight, you know how to fight. That's it. You know, I'm just one of those guys that naturally I've always known what to do in a ring, and just some people have it, you know. I feel like you're just a natural gifted fighter, and that's what I am. I'm just a naturally gifted fighter that understands his range really quick. I understand what's going on, and I understand what I have to do. All I got to do is get my punches sharp, give me my left hook, and I'm ready to go. That's it. Give me my slingshot. I don't care about anything else. I could go the whole training camp without sparring. I went a whole training camp without using my right hand before when I was fighting Fonseca. I didn't even use my right hand one time in that training camp. I threw it maybe twice in the fight against Fonseca, then knocked him out with my left hook. That's what I'm saying. I just know how to fight, you know. Some people have that, and I'm blessed with it. And I'm going to come in the ring with Gervonta with it, and he's going to – as long as he didn't take this from the contract, I'm okay. Take everything out. Strip everything from me. Don't take away my left hook, and we're good to go.
So Gervonta can punch. There's no doubt about that. Are you coming into this fight expecting to have to dig deep at some point?
I'm believing that I know if it did happen, I know how I respond. I know that in my heart. Because I proved it already. The old timers say, you don't know a guy's a champion until he hits the deck. You'll never know who that person is till they hit the deck. Everybody got to go through that. Muhammad Ali, Floyd Mayweather, everybody who's hit the deck had to get back up. I mean, Floyd didn't hit the deck, but worse than hitting the deck. He was out on his feet, you know, with a guy coming right at him. So, let's not forget that. They talk about Floyd's defense. Man, this dude's been wobbled by DeMarcus Corley to the point where he looked like he was not going to survive it. So that's what determines. Gervonta hasn't went through that, and I'm curious to see how he reacts. I'm betting my money that he's not going to react like me. I'll bet my whole purse that if he gets dropped, he won't go right to me like I went right to Luke Campbell. I could guarantee that for sure. Actually, I'm more confident about that than anything. He'll be holding me, and he'll be asking what is going on.
Tank is a historically slow starter. Is that something you think you can take advantage of?
Like I said, when I get in the ring, people talk about, you know, strategy and all that. Man, I get in the ring, I assess what's in front of me, and I take what's in front of me. So if he's running around, you know, trying to read me, that's fine. Do all your reading you can do. But I'm going to be controlling what I can control, stalking you down, understanding what you're trying to set up. I have experience. I've had guys run around the ring so much trying to get away from me, trying to set me up. Do you think that's the first time people have tried that on me? They try to do that. You understand? But that's not what I plan he's going to do for a long time, because he's going to feel the moment. He's going to feel the urgency to, like, I have to make a statement here. And from there, I will take advantage of him.
Yeah, you are an incredibly dangerous guy, I think, to start slow against. Because if an opponent gets down on the scorecards against you, he has to start taking some chances. And you are dangerous to take chances against.
100%. He doesn't understand how calm I am under fire and how I can just land shots as you're coming in. I mean, that's my bread and butter. But a lot of guys lately, if you notice, when I came back, none of the guys came at me at all. Takeout didn't come at me. Fortuna didn't even dare want to throw a punch. So I was already in the game for a little bit, and I kind of already figured what I got to do now. You know what I mean? I felt a little bit more comfortable. Again, I'm even better now when I fought Fortuna, but you could see that these guys, there's a reason they don't want to throw a punch. There's a reason they can't see the punches that, for some reason, everybody says I could get hit by. I want to tell people something about defense, too. I want you to write this down. What is defense? Defense is that you don't get hit. Have you ever seen Ryan Garcia bruised, cut, or swollen up in a fight ever? Never. Thank you. So what I'm trying to say is, it's not that I don't have defense. Is I don't have flashy defense. I don't have defense. These guys are busted up after the fight, but they only remember one defensive flashy move. That doesn't mean you have defense. What defense means is you don't get hit. I don't care how it looks. You just don't get hit. So why am I not getting hit? If I didn't have defense, you would consider me like a guy like Brandon Figueroa, for example. I'm just throwing that name out there. He don't have defense because he gets hit a lot. If I'm speaking from honest heart, Gervonta Davis doesn't even have as good defense as me, and I don't care what anybody says. I would have not even got touched by Gamboa. I would not even begin touched by Leo Santa Cruz. Rollies wouldn't even have touched me. None of these guys, Cruz for sure wouldn't have landed a punch on me, because I understand something he doesn't. And I have range, and I have distance, and I have, if I fight tall, guess what? Because that's how my body's designed. I just follow what I have to do. You want me to do this? Is this defense to you? That's not defense. Because if you're getting cracked by it, is that defense? If I'm slipping my head and I run into one, is that defense now? No, it's not. Defense is that you don't get hit. I want that's the biggest thing that people are going to be shocked by this fight. They're going to think that I'm going to get hit. And when I'm not getting hit, and that's the same thing that's going to happen to Gervonta. When he starts realizing he can't just hit me anytime he pleases, that's when reality is going to hit him, and he's getting smacked with jabs all day long, and he's going to be out cold, and it's going to be so sad for everybody in that arena that just denied the truth. They're going to be shocked. I promise you, Chris. They're going to be so shocked. You're going to hear a rat piss that night. You're going to be able to hit a rat piss. There's going to be silence, and all I'm going to do, I don't even know how I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I'm going to scream, or I don't know if I'm going to shut my mouth. I actually want to hear the silence around the arena. I want to hear nobody speak a word. I cannot wait. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I've said to people over the last few months, and I brought it up earlier in the show, I've been in every fighter meeting with your opponents over the last few years. I have always got the sense that they didn't believe the speed or the power or the skill was on the level that people said it was. I don't think guys believe what you got until they get in with you and see what you've got.
That's exactly what it is. I've had that with sparring partners, man. Same thing. They say, you know what? I think that you're, they think it's something else. Even when they've watched me hurt somebody right before them, they're screaming to get in the ring because it doesn't look what it seems like, because some things are unseen, man. That's all I got to say. Some things are unseen, and you will not know till you're in there. Like, for example, my sparring partner, he was like, this kid named Danny, great fighter, fast. He was like, you know what? The main thing I didn't realize, you can't really hit you. you think you could hit you, but then you're getting hit with punches that you wouldn't think you'll get hit with. It's just, You see shots, but you won't be able to hit me. I promise you that. I actually want to give you the confidence to say, oh my gosh, I'm going to hit him here. And then it's not there. So that's how I see myself. And I think a lot of people dismiss that. But again, that's just because they don't want to believe that I'm that guy. They don't want me to be the leader in the sport. They don't want me to be the face of the sport because I represent something that doesn't make any sense. Why is this guy a fighter? Why is this guy out here, you know, preaching something that don't make no sense? I'm not preaching to be the tough guy. I'm preaching to be tough when you need to be tough. I'm not teaching that you got to be, you know, oh, I'm from the streets, I'm tough, I'm not soft. No. But guess what? When the moment approaches, then you see what kind of leader I am. You'll see me at the battlegrounds right then and there, searching for the biggest guy, the dangerous guy right there, and say, I'll take him on. Let's go. You guys are afraid of this guy? You guys are really fearful of this man? Just bring him on. Bring him on, and I'm ready. That's just who I am. I don't look like it, but that's in my nature. I want the biggest, baddest guy in the room, the one that's knocking everybody out, and the one that's going to create the most buzz. Because if I fight Devin Haney, guess what people will say? But you ain't fight Tank. If I fight Shakur and I beat him, but you haven't beat Tank. So I'm going after the monster. Now when I beat him, now I'm in the driver's seat. You can't say nothing because nobody rates those guys higher than Tank deep down in their hearts. So when I beat Tank, seriously, I want to go after Devin Haney. Seriously. That was my plan. Remember I said that in the ring when I knocked out Fonseca Cove? I gave everybody my blueprint, and they didn't believe I was going to stick to it. I said I wanted to fight Jorge Linares. COVID came in the way. That fell through. But then I went after Luke Campbell. I really wanted to fight him. And then obviously you know what they did. That's the devil. They tried to throw in Manny Pacquiao. See this crazy stuff that happens to me, Chris? They threw in a random Manny Pacquiao fight. Of course that's going to throw off a 21-year-old dude that's thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get a fight Manny Pacquiao. What? This is unbelievable. Forget you, Javante. I'm going after Manny Pacquiao. See what they do? But guess what? I had to go through the fire. I had to go through all that. I had to survive the mental warfare. I had to get beat down mentally. Then I had to rebuild myself, come back to this moment, and now I'm right where I left off. Or I feel like I'm right where I left off with Luke Campbell. I feel the buzz. The only thing that's changed is my tattoos. But everything else is the same, baby. You got the same Ryan Garcia in front of you that you seen when I fought Luke Campbell. And now I'm taking on Tank like I proclaimed in the ring, but against Fonseca. You remember that. I told you what I was going to do. I even told you it was going to be a body shot with Luke Campbell a year and a half before it happened. I literally said it. There's documented. So this is the path I've taken. I didn't let nobody shake me from it. This is just where it's going to be. And guess what? Javante Davis, I want you to have a long talk with yourself after this fight. A long talk with yourself. I want you to come back stronger because I really do believe Javante is a good man deep down in his heart. I do. I see a good guy. A good guy that just ain't learned shit yet. But after this fight, sometimes you got to get knocked out to learn something. He doesn't believe in mental health. This is going to be the start of something new for him. Some people got to taste defeat in order to be humbled. And this is the moment that's going to happen for him. He's going to be humbled, but he's going to come back a better man. I know it for sure.
Well, Ryan, I didn't think it was possible to get me more amped for this fight, but now I am. It's going to be a can't-miss fight, and I think incredibly competitive between two elite guys. Catch Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis on Saturday on pay-per-view. Ryan, as always, I appreciate your time.
Hey, man, I need you at the after party. Forget this. Forget the sign-out. The sign-out should be this. Chris Mannix coming to my after party. We have a damn good time, and we're going to have a little bit of wine. We're going to talk about everything. Oh my gosh, it's so fun. We're probably going to be crying. Love you.
And when we come back, this week's picks. All right, time now for this week's picks, and there is only one fight to focus on this weekend. Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis, 136-pound catchweight fight. No titles on the line in this one, but a lot on the line. Tank Davis is coming into this fight as the favorite. He is minus 290 right now on FanDuel. Ryan Garcia at plus 215. Look, I like Ryan Garcia in this fight. I think it is a fight that can go any number of ways. It wouldn't be shocking to see Tank Davis win by knockout. He knocks out virtually everybody. It wouldn't be shocking to see this fight go to a decision because when you have two guys that are wary of the power of each other, sometimes that makes them a little more tentative. And we've seen fights between two big punchers go to a decision. Take Tyson Fury against Deontay Wilder, the first fight that went to the scorecards. But I think this is a fight that Ryan Garcia is going to win, and I think it's a fight that he's going to win by knockout. Ryan Garcia by knockout right now is at plus 390 over at FanDuel. I think that's a pretty good bet. It's a risky bet, no doubt about it. He's the underdog for a reason. I think Tank, having more experience and maybe having a slight edge when it comes to skills, an understandable favorite in this situation. But as I've said on this podcast, weeks before this podcast, for years really, Ryan Garcia, I think, is a criminally underestimated fighter. And I just don't think guys believe that his speed is real until they get in the ring with him. His speed is very real. And when you get hit by something you can't see, it makes that punch even more dangerous to an opponent. So I'm riding with Ryan Garcia in this one. Plus 390 at FanDuel. I'm putting my money there. I'm hoping to get a good return. Either way, this is going to be an incredible fight, the kind of fight that boxing needs and needs more of in order to grow the sport. Garcia, Tank Davis, take Ryan Garcia, plus 390 by knockout in this fight. Those are my picks for the week. That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Achen Barak and Ryan Garcia for joining the show. As always, subscribe, rate, review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you download podcasts. We will be back on Friday for a special episode in advance of Garcia against Tank Davis. Check us out on AMP. Check us out on the podcast feed. We are not done talking about the super fight. We will see you on Friday.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander. Or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family, like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.